1st, and now the official BC Lions podcast is back. How is everybody doing? Matt Baker, Nick Kowalski. We're broadcasting from the Go Goat Sports Studios inside the Wall Center on Burrard Street. Nick, feels like summer out there. We were just kind of hanging out outside, checking out the various scenery you get, and feels like summer. You're a new Vancouverite. We should remind people, right?
Yeah.
Well, not new. Almost a full year now, about
it's
8 months.
It's my first fall coming up, so yes.
I always tell people from out of town who thinking about coming to Vancouver, come in September. The weather's still awesome. The city's not quite as busy. You could still catch a lot of the tourist activities, outdoor stuff, and it's just not as busy. So
I'm with you there, though. Today was hot, or today's been hot, and we're recording this on Monday afternoon, and it was a hot one even out during the day when the team was out there for a bit. But in Calgary, my fingertips were getting a little cold at the end of that game, so the weather's definitely changing a bit.
Yeah, it's that interesting sort of transition to fall where at nighttime it gets a little chilly. And yes, we're recording this on a Monday. Your BC Lions fresh off a huge overtime win in Calgary, 31-29. Huge. Say it one more time. Yes. And yeah, I had to do the old halftime run in the room and get the jacket.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a day like this. Those in Greater Vancouver on a Monday afternoon, it was kind of warm throughout the day. Out for a game day walk, get some breakfast, get a little sandwich for the game, and yeah, shorts, t-shirt, and then later it gets at night, you kind of have to layer up a little bit. At least I did. I know some other people like yourself did as well. So yeah, kind of, it's getting to be autumn, the leaves are falling, the games are getting more important. It's a pretty fun feeling right now, especially after that huge win over the Stampeders.
Exactly, too. And now the season series wrapped up over the Stampeders, which is crazy important given how tight the West is. And first place is still not out of reach right now. A playoff spot is on the horizon coming up this weekend if we can get it done and get those 2 points to book our ticket to the dance. But it was huge. Like, getting the win in overtime, I felt that the Lions were the better team throughout that game, and it wasn't Calgary handing over the win to us. I thought Vernon Adams deserved that win. I thought the defense stood up when they had to. So, another win for the good guys, as Josh Woods would say.
Yeah, good to see VA have himself a steady performance. So, you know, call it a solid performance. Didn't dominate
really
by any stretch, but you know, he was efficient. Couple plays he'll want back, and namely the first half fumble where he elected to not take the sack earlier, decided to keep the play alive. That's the way you play the game. That's fine, but sometimes that'll come back and haunt you. And yeah, really, yeah. You know, I know a lot of the prognosticators going in were predicting that Calgary would take care of the Lions quite easily, maybe, and even both of these matchups. But you're right. Other than that Adams fumble and a pretty bad busted coverage on the long touchdown there. I think it was Jalen Edwards-Cooper got beat. Tough to see that, but really, maybe a 6-point swing at the end of the half, because the Lions would have settled for a field goal had Adams hung on to that. That was a second and goal play. The Stamps wind up getting 3 of their own before. So really, yeah, possible 6-point swing, you know, under more normal circumstances, maybe the Lions are up by 3 at halftime, not trailing by 3, but they take the ball in the third quarter, come on down, impressive drive. I think that was the drive that was extended by a long Adams first down run, or did that happen later on the touchdown drive? I can't remember.
But that drive ended in the field goal.
Yeah, the Sean White field goal. So tied, the Lions get a lead in the fourth, give it up, give Calgary some life and a chance to kick the winning field goal with barely any time left. Rene Paredes, normally Mr. Automatic, but a 48-yarder with a little bit of a win too, but thankfully wide left, and then the Lions get it done in overtime with James Butler scoring. They get the two and then allow Calgary to score, but they don't convert the two. I like that little wrinkle in the overtime where you have to go for two, so Just a gutsy effort all around on both sides of the ball. And the special teams, that was the one area. Again, a lot of those prognosticators out there always like to harp on the special teams, but I thought it was pretty good.
The
kick coverage I'm talking about, namely, because that's where the Stampeders can kill you. So, yeah, that's great for this team to get a win like that. And like you said, in the driver's seat now, one more win and we're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact about that last field goal, too. I haven't put this out there, but I was I was on the Park and Fly bus. Shout out to Park and Fly, sponsor of ours.
Yes.
For our travel needs.
Very convenient. Yes.
Nathan Cherry, defensive tackle, starting now in second game. He was on the Park and Fly bus with us, and he got his pinky on that field goal. They got a good push up front.
Yeah.
Nathan Cherry, he didn't block. It's not considered a block.
Deflected.
It still went out,
yeah.
But he got a fingertip on that field goal per Nathan Cherry. So, the special teams really came up clutch throughout the game. I was labeling my footage as I do on road trips back home, and Tanner Dole was to my right behind me, so he was kind of looking at my laptop too, and we were looking at some of his tackles. He was involved in a couple nice punt return tackles along with Luchez Purifoy in there. So the kick coverage, yeah, definitely that was encouraging. And to just say one more note about VA, it was just, I believe, it's just inspiring to see a quarterback again be accurate in this offense and keep moving the ball down the field, put up points, put up yards. And I know I can guarantee you the receivers feel the same way, that they have a guy now under center again, and they know that the ultimate goal of winning a Grey Cup, I think the team in there, they fully believe again that that goal is achievable, and it should be now with VA behind this offense. And it's high flying again, and it's exciting again. It's fun times.
And you consider it with VA again, really, barely 2 weeks of practice. He didn't get that much work with the ones that first week, hence why he barely played outside of a series or two in Montreal. Mm-hmm. So it's emotional for him. Seeing him after, and we're involved in the post-game Zoom press conference, it was emotional. That's a guy who's been through a lot. Basically cast aside in Montreal. Yes, he got injured, but I think that only made the decision for the Alouettes easier to go with Trevor Harris. For some reason, I guess a little more comfortable with him. Trevor Harris, solid quarterback, don't get me wrong. And it's good it went down that way, because VA became expendable. And now, at least for the time being, this team's Grey Cup hopes will rest in Adams Jr.'s hands. Impressive win. Don't know if anyone at CFL.ca really watched much of it, because we're apparently still below Calgary in the power rankings. How the heck does that happen? Seriously, I don't want to harp on it. I don't want to. Some good folks at CFL.ca,
yeah,
but I know they don't like hearing about gripes about the power rankings. But
or
seriously,
do they?
Or is this part of the design? They want podcasts like this to talk about it.
Yeah, more impressions, more engagements. But yeah, it's
Calgary second in the power rankings, despite losing twice to your Lions and being behind them in the standings. Still,
my only gripe with it is that, sure, put Calgary ahead of us. But my gripe is that earlier in the season they had their midseason award ballots, right? And it was Zach Collaros being named as the pretty much unanimous MOP, because Nathan Rourke had not beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at the top team. But now a quarterback that we have beats one of the top teams in the CFL, and we don't pass that team. So that's kind of like, which one is it, right? That's kind of my gripe.
Love that argument too. Oh, he didn't beat Winnipeg, therefore he's not the MOP. Okay. It's not. I don't think that's how it works, but...
But now we go into McNabb.
Never mind.
Again.
Yeah. I mean, never mind the fact Nathan Rourke was on pace to like shatter every major statistical record in the CFL.
We never went through those stats fully. I gotta pull them up again.
Well,
pro football would have been the record books would have been rewritten for a single
season.
Nick,
him getting injured kind of took the wind out of those sails a little bit. But yeah. But I'm just saying, it's. Did anyone at the league office watch the game?
And one last note, too.
Here's a spoiler alert. Hold that thought. Here's a spoiler alert. After a win like that, I'm thinking, okay, you know, James Butler, maybe Dominique Rimes, should be some consideration for top performers of the week.
Burnham had a quiet 100.
Apparently not. Yeah, Burnham went for 100, yeah. Didn't make necessarily the long highlight reel plays, but some key catches and tight spots. No top performers of the week, so that's fine. That's fine. There's a bigger pot of gold at the end of this rainbow, Nick.
Yeah.
That's what we're aiming for. But still, I couldn't let that go unremarked.
Mm-hmm. My point I was going to bring up, too, is something I've been kind of telling you behind closed doors lately, is that Dominique Rimes is having an unbelievable season.
Right.
Second in the league in receiving yards. Now, we broke 1,000 yards this past game. Highlight reel catch after catch. I mean, at this point, I would imagine he's our most outstanding player for the season. But could we go a step further at this point?
Go a step further, yeah.
I'm throwing him in consideration for the West nominee for most outstanding player, period. I know the popular pick is Zach Collaros and all of that, but I mean, just look at the outstanding plays that Dominique Rimes has made week in, week out. Having the access we do on the football field. I've seen Dominique Grimes totally step up in a leadership role these past weeks with Nathan Rourke going down. Those pregame speeches now, it's Dominique Grimes. TJ Lee is also not there, so that impacts it too, but it's Dominique Grimes who has definitely taken that role onto his shoulders as being a leader. And he leads by example too, whether it's a tough catch over the middle, the highlight reel one catch, the 50-50 ball. They're not 50-50s with Dominique Grimes, and it's week in, week out. So he may not, his name's not even being considered for all these league accolades, but I think he's right in that conversation in terms of there really isn't a runaway. It was Nathan Rourke, but there really isn't a runaway superstar player in this league right now. And I think Dominique Grimes, like throughout the entire season, even that Winnipeg game where most of the team didn't have their best performance, he was the one guy that really showed up that game. So, I mean, I'm throwing Dominique Grimes' name into that MLB conversation, and I hope that's not me being biased. I think that you can look at the tape.
Yeah, I'll agree with you in part. I think he's definitely going to be the team's nominee at this point. As far as beating out a Zach Kolaros, I say the jury's out on that. And I only say that because the players that you see winning these awards, and ultimately you have to get nominated out of your division first to win, these players are still making those plays when we get to October and when the games get more important. If Dominique Grimes continues to stay at this pace, the team's leading receiver, yeah, maybe that's partially due to the fact that Brian Burnham missed a few games earlier in the season. But if he's still producing, you know, when the Lions need to win these games to perhaps lock down second place, stay in the race for first, that's going to get a lot of people talking. I think that's warranted, but we'll have to see. It's the same thing like in the NFL with the MVP in the NFL. And remember the last couple of years, we kept hearing people say, you know, how has Russell Wilson never, ever gotten a vote? Well, usually the MVPs in the NFL are guys that are getting first-round buys, like Lamar Jackson a couple years ago, number one seed. Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game. He's always leading Kansas City to either a one or a two seed. So, I mean, a guy like Russell Wilson, he was the Seahawks MVP for a few years there, for sure. NFL MVP, that's just another step, but I just think it's great we're talking about Rhymes in this fashion. I mean, last couple of years we've been thinking, okay, need some new faces. It's great we've got the likes of Burnham and Michael Riley before he retired. Lucky Whitehead emerged as that potential new star for this franchise last season. But keep that going. Guys like Rhymes, Keon Hatcher, a couple big plays himself
Calgary. I believe Keon's over 700 yards now in the season, too. So he's on pace for over 1,000 as well.
Lucky and Burnham aren't even in the top two. Again, there's injuries involved there. But the fact that Lucky and Burnham aren't the leaders, I think that's a good thing for this team. It's you can cast a wide net and find all kinds of... I'm into the metaphors today. Find all kinds of good reasons why... Why you think those guys are up for those accolades, should be up for those accolades.
Yeah, I think one last note about the offense, too, that we haven't really touched on yet is James Butler obviously had a pretty damn good game with two touchdowns and the overtime touchdown and all of that. But the offensive line, we saw its first change last week. Andrew Pearson goes in at right guard, and he held his own. And I was very happy to see that. He's like, he's a great person off the field, and I've been rooting for him all season to get his shot, and he's got a shot now, albeit to a Sook Chung injury, but he stepped up, and the O-line didn't miss a beat for my eye, and I was happy for Andrew to excel in his first start in some years now.
Yeah, his first start since 2019, so he's been dressing as that extra guy, and we'll be real here. This is a guy that has been kept around because he's carries a Canadian passport. That's first and foremost. He's good in the community.
Great in the community.
That's a guy who people know about, whether it's amateur football, other great events that we're involved with, Huddle Up Against Bullying, and all the other great programs that this club has led and spearheaded. Be More Than a Bystander, of course. A lot of times you keep guys because of their passport and because of what they mean to a lot of those programs, but it's good to see him, you're right, get in there and be a big difference maker. They allowed James Butler to go for 83 on the ground. He went over 100 when you factor in his receiving yards, too. But the two touchdowns, the long 18-yarder in overtime. So, yeah, the run blocking especially didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, and that was both to the right side, those touchdowns.
Yep.
To his side, yeah.
So good. So many great elements you can use to break this down. Good for 54, Andrew Pearson, BC Lion, an undrafted acquisition back in, he went undrafted in 2018 and came to camp. Again, just another one of those bodies you throw in there. He's just a name on a roster, and he's become a long-term BC Lion.
He's just got to remember to pick up his chicken wings in the back of my trunk after I drop him off after games, because Sunday afternoon he walked back to my apartment to pick up his chicken wings that he left in my trunk after I gave him a ride home. So you're lucky I didn't eat them.
It's a productive trip for you. You were out exploring on the Red Mile, 17th Avenue. No Calgary Flames game, of course, but that was your first time on the Red Mile, was it not?
Yeah, it was. I love all these cities in Canada.
So you were out on 17th Ave. Produced some unreal game content. BCLions.com. Check out our Road and Five, and you're giving the old linemen a ride back to their homes.
That Kent Perkins shotgun fit my little Hyundai, but it all worked out.
Forget Dominique Rimes. Nicholas Kowalski throwing his hat into the ring for most valuable, most outstanding player, I should say.
Hey, we're eco-friendly in this locker room.
Yes, exactly. Hey, our guest this week never won an MOP, sadly, but he's certainly an MOP as far as a CFL and radio broadcasters across the Canadian Football League. Former Lion himself, played at SFU, and over 20 years, 25 years almost, as a BC Lions color analyst. You hear him doing the games with Moj on AM 730. Julio Caravetta. Recap the win with Julio and go down memory lane a little bit. He's a great storyteller. Julio, coming up on First and Now. BC Lions color analyst Julio Caravetta, one of our favorites, returning guest on the program. He's been on First and Now quite a few times before, but never with the team sporting a 9-3 record, Julio. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, Bakes. It's always a pleasure to sit down and talk some football about you, and especially, as you said, when the team is 9-3, lots of good things to talk about.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, I'm not just saying this because you're here and you're both friends of mine, yourself and Moj. It really sounds like you're having fun calling the games. Winning obviously helps, but we get all your calls. Nick puts them in the Road in Five segments, adds an element to it. Like it's our production, right? Just how much fun are you guys having up there in the booth this year?
Yeah. You know what I have to admit, I think it's easy because when you work with people, all the way around, and that's you, that's Nick, that's everybody down at the facility, coaches, and Moj and I, we have a passion for the game. Right. And when you're around people who love the game and love being a part of the game, it's easy, right? Because it's just like, you're sitting around your house having a couple of drinks and watching a game, except minus the drinks. But it's just we have a lot of fun. We try to make it as entertaining as possible. But I think the bottom line is that we're both very passionate about the game and about the team, and we hope that comes through with the broadcast.
Yeah, we don't need to get into what you're putting in your coffee, but
scary thing is, Bakes, I'm not a drinker. I'm not a drinker at all. So that's just pure enthusiasm and adrenaline, I'm telling you.
Just a double shot of espresso.
Maybe that every once in a while.
As far as the win goes in Calgary, I mean, we talked about the implications. This Lions team really in the driver's seat for hosting a playoff game. Heck, first place I don't think first place is out of reach. But I think one good element of that win in Calgary was just seeing how steady Vernon Adams Jr. was. You could tell having a full week of practice. It's good that Coach Rick got that out early last week that he was going to start. Your overall impressions of Mr. Adams?
Well, I was super impressed. I think too, like I really feel for him in a sense that, Vernon, when you've been around the league as much as he has, and he's been moved around a little bit, and what was happening to him in Montreal, I'm sure really affected his confidence. And then, he hasn't played very much this year. I know he's a veteran, but he just hasn't played very much this year. And to come into this scenario where you have a team that's, was playing very, very well, Great record, great talent. It puts a lot of pressure on you as well. No matter how, you know, no matter how many years you've been in the league, it puts a lot of pressure on you to perform. And, you know, I think Vernon, you know, to his credit, he was throwing a lot of stuff. Like there's this offense is, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces, the language, the verbiage, the players getting used to everybody, new city, all those things. So, I mean, you can talk about what you want on the field, but even off the field, you know, just think about it, you know, having to fly across the country and move things and just, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. So for him, you know, to have a full week of practice. And I just thought his game was just, it was just so, so solid, you know, no mistakes. You could see that he's still processing a lot, but I just loved how he, you know, he stood in there. He simplified his game. I love the fact that he didn't try to do too much. And he's just really, and when we talked to him after the game, just really trying to get the players, the people around him, the talent around him, get him the ball. And don't try to do too much because you don't have to. And I think that was really evident. And I was super, super happy for him. You know, I mentioned on the broadcast that, you know, when we took the bus over to the game, he was sitting right across from me. And to see him with his notebook, and his notebook was full of notes, and he had the call sheet, and you could see he was going through all the reads and calls. And I just have a real appreciation and I admire people that, because it is a very, very difficult position to play, that put the work in, and because I know how hard it is, I'd love to see people like that be successful. And it was really nice because Vernon's, you know, when I have talked to him, he just seems like a very, very nice young man who takes his craft very serious and wants to be successful. And when you see guys work as hard as he does, you like to see that. You like to see them have success.
Yeah, and then another thing we saw on Saturday was one of James Butler's best games of the season. Offensive coordinator Jordan Maksimek stuck with the run all game, and it worked all game. James Butler had 2 touchdowns. So as a former quarterback, is there any mental effect that happens when the run game works and you know as a quarterback the offensive production is not totally 100% on your shoulders?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, Nick, you make an excellent point, and it's something I brought up to Coach Campbell after the game as well, was I think Jordan Maksimek should take a lot of credit for that because – you know, he's having to find out the strengths and weaknesses of a new quarterback, design a game plan for him. And I thought that he did a tremendous job. And part of that was probably to take some pressure off of him and get the running game going. Although I'm sure every offensive coordinator will tell you, you want to establish the line of scrimmage. And any time that you can run the football the way that they did, you're taking pressure off of them, right? When you're second and four, as opposed to second and eight or second and nine, it changes your decision making as a quarterback. It changes your play calling as an offensive coordinator. So for them to have the success that they did with the run game, just makes things easier. Because you just think to yourself, guys, if you're in second and four, now all of a sudden a little check down or a quick hitch, a quick screen, whatever the call is, your chances of success in converting that second down go a lot higher as opposed to when you're at that second and eight, second and nine. Now all of a sudden you've got to start throwing the ball downfield, right? So it's just and then I think for that short passing game, you know, when you got a veteran quarterback like Vernon, who's been around and knows the defenses, and now he's understanding where he's supposed to go with the football. And now you can see them converting more of those second downs. I think they're up over 50% on their second down conversion, which is really good. So to your point about the running game, anytime that you can get that thing going, it really, really helps you out. It really helps your confidence to look behind you, knowing that you're going to get 5, 6, 7 yards a crack every time you hand the ball off is a nice soothing experience, for the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And another thing Vernon Adams, to me, picked up in the offense was that when you need a play, just throw it over to number 19, Big Dominique Grimes. It's funny, when I cut up your clips that Mike Whittingham sends me, with there's usually a Rhymes or Burnham catch every game where you just yell no, like he actually got that. These guys just surprise you week in, week out. Hey,
oh my gosh, it really does. Like it's just I'm a fan, right? I marvel at that kind of athleticism. I think the other thing too for me is that I have a real appreciation for it because, you know, having, you know I played a long time ago. I just know how hard it is, right? I know how hard it is that there's so many things going on and the speed of the game and all that kind of stuff, you know, to make those kinds of plays. And, you know, Burnham has been doing it just, I mean, he's a freak when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, he's just so ho-hum now. He just makes it look so easy. And then Dominic is just, again, I love the way that he came into training camp. He you know, he told us early on that he'd lost some weight and really kind of, you know, he got stronger and faster and more explosive. And you can really see, that is so evident and how he attacks the football as when it's up in the air, one-on-one, he just goes up and gets it and he just wants it more. So again, for a quarterback, when you see him, you know, running downfield in man-to-man coverage, you know, you got to feel pretty confident that when you throw the ball up to him, he's going to come down with it. And what is it? I think he had nine. He's got nine catches of over 30 plus yards, maybe now 10. That's just incredible. So yeah, I'm in awe of those guys all the way around. Not just Burnham. Obviously, I've been a long time. I've had a chance to cover his entire career, and he's just a remarkable, remarkable athlete. But all those other guys, Lucky and Hatcher, Katoy, they're just right across the board. They're all so good at what they do. It's just a lot of fun to watch.
Rematch here Saturday night, and we just saw firsthand with Saskatchewan how hard it is to sweep a team and really win both ends of a home and home series. What area are you most excited to watch and break down here for this rematch, Julio?
Well, I think, you know, anytime that you go, you know, when you play a back-to-back, right, it's, you know, they always say it's very difficult to beat a team, especially a team like Calgary, into back-to-back scenarios. And because, you know, Dave Dickinson is such a good coach and his entire coaching staff, you know that they're going to go back and make some adjustments, but the Lions are also going to make adjustments. So, you know, again, it's all about execution. You know, I was happy to see one, obviously, about Vernon and the way that he played. That was the biggest key for me. If he played well, they were going to have a chance. The other big one is special teams. And, you know, I thought the special teams did a good job of coverage. They didn't give up anything big. And I thought Terry Williams is getting close to busting one. You know, he's very, very explosive. And when he hits a hole, he's going 100 miles an hour. So I think that part of their game is about to explode. I really do. I think they're trending in the right direction. So anytime it's about a back-to-back, there's going to be a lot of emotion. You know, obviously there's a lot on the line. Calgary realizing that they can't lose this game or else they're going to lose sight of trying to host a playoff game. So there's going to be a lot on the line. And again, I think anytime these back-to-back games, it's all about emotion and wanting it more than the other team. And for the Lions to have gone on the road and beat Calgary there again, that to me was another big indicator about where this team is, man. They've had a lot of big road wins, but none bigger than that. That's a tough, tough place to play and against a very good team. And for them to have gone there two times in a row and win, it says something about the team. And now they get a chance to do something special and beating them back to back. They get it at home. And what more could you ask for?
Defense. A little unlucky with injuries lately. TJ Lee, Delvin Bro Sr., both missing some time. But what's your read on guys like Emmanuel Rugamba and Quincy Mojie getting back in? No matter what pieces they put back there, they might give up some yards. Mm-hmm. Like the middle of the field seemed a little too easy for Jake Mayer there.
Yeah.
But they made some plays when they had to. Just your overall assessment of how this revamped defense is.
Well, you mean, I tell you what, Rugamba must be doing something right because they ain't moving him. You know, when you have Luchez Purifoy sitting there, who's the, you know, who's the, a, a jack of all trades, really. He can do anything, that guy. I tell you, he is something else. But Rugumba has done an amazing job. Ben Hladek has done a great job. Now you've got Jordan Williams and Bola Cumbo. Josh Woods, I think, is another guy that has done a great job. And we've gone over and over the fact of how that defensive line is able to rotate and just keep fresh legs coming at you. That, to me, is another thing that has really, really been a big, big factor in this whole thing. So to your point, you know, I mean, in this league, when you lose your starters, and it's going to happen, very few teams can go through a year without having any injuries. You need your guys to step up. You need the next man to step up. And they have had that happen over and over again with guys getting an opportunity and stepping up and doing their job. And that to me speaks to the job that Neil and Rick and Ryan Rigmaiden have done in assembling the talent, right? We all said at the beginning of the year, all those second year guys were going to have to play bigger roles. They made a commitment to those guys and they came back and have proven that commitment to allowing some young guys a valuable playing experience and having them come back the following year better with a better understanding of the game and the league is paying off. And so defensively, I think there hasn't been any, I can't think of one where there's been a game where they've, you know, really let them down, right? Like they have showed up every single week. Ryan Phillips has done a tremendous job with that group. They fly around and they're a lot of fun to watch. And I always say too, guys, is that, you know, we talk about these injuries to, you know, TJ and to Delvin Bro and some of the other guys that have been injured. But you're looking at, there's a couple of big pieces that haven't made their appearance for the BC Lions and Woody Barron and Stove Richardson. And so those are two guys I know that, you know, there's, you know, I don't know whether or not those guys will make an appearance because of injury, but it just goes to show you how deep this team is on that side of the ball. And it doesn't matter who's in there. They're just getting production and that's fantastic to see.
Mm-hmm. And then keying on the defensive line, I mean, the key to that group, I believe, has been the rotation they can develop at that group, right? You have David Menard and Matthew Betts, both free agent ads. They can rotate in. Sione Tuihema is a rookie that he's had 7 sacks now on the season. But yeah, they're deep there, like you said. I mean, but how important is it to have that rotation of defensive linemen? They like to dress about 8 of them a game, and it pays off, right?
It's massive. It really is. Like, you know, and anybody that, you know, has been around the game will tell you that it's the line of scrimmage is where the game's won and lost, right? And so when you're rolling 8 defensive linemen and 8 quality guys, like you touched on it, like Matthew Betts, when he was in Edmonton last year, I know everyone made a big deal of the fact that when he came over here, that he didn't have any sacks. Or if you watch that guy play, he is something else. And I'll throw Menard in there as well. Like, those guys play the game the way that it deserves to be played. They play 110 miles an hour. They go from whistle to whistle. They do not stop. Their motors never stop. And that's true of pretty much all those guys. You said that about Tuihema. He's been fantastic. Boom has been fantastic. Now think about Nate Cherry, who's getting now some action because of the ratio issue, and Tim Bonner's not playing, and Josh Banks, and then what about Thibaut Dabale? You know what I mean? Like he's been fantastic as well. So right across the board, all those guys have contributed. I haven't been around a team that's floated 8 guys on the defensive line the way that the Lions have, and it has really, really paid off because there are times during the game I can see 4 guys coming in and taking 4 guys out. And so for an offensive lineman, you're getting a fresh guy every couple of plays. That wears you down. And it's proven to be very, very effective for this team.
Balance is the key, no doubt. Hey, listen, Julio, before we let you go, we were talking about this a little bit on the bus. Going into McMahon Stadium, always get a little nostalgic. You, for sure. I mean, you experienced this rivalry at its peak in the early to mid-90s. And in honor of him going into the Hall of Fame over the weekend, special weekend, Dave Ritchie, Paul McCallum, mm-hmm. Roy Shivers as well. Can't forget good old Roy. But Dave Ritchie, you had a great story about the 1994 Western Final and an incident pulling into the parking lot on the bus. Was it? Can you share that? Can you share the G-rated version of this for our listeners?
Yes. Well, you're right. It is. There's a lot of great memories there. A lot of bad memories. But obviously, 1994 is something that, you know, I mean, I will never forget that evening, the way it all kind of transpired. And one of the things I remember about that game was how in the second half the snow started to fall very lightly, and it was mystical. Like, it was just such a this images I'll just never forget. But to your point about Dave Ritchie, who is, I think, if I were to be honest, is one of my favorite coaches of all time. He was a very, very kind, gentle man, but man, oh man, when he stepped onto a field, I remember a quick story before the bus. Remember one time we got out on the practice field and he didn't like the way we were practicing, and he kicked us all off the field. He said, everyone off. I want you guys out of here. This is a complete waste of time. I remember we were all sitting in the locker room wondering what to do. Like, do we go back out or what's the story? And he came in and he kicked the garbage cans. There was a couple of garbage cans. And I'll never forget, he said, as he yelled at us, he said, don't ever mistake kindness as a weakness. And he walked away. And I was like, wow, I'll never forget that. But the story you're talking about is we're taking the bus over to the stadium. And, you know, if you've ever been to McMahon Stadium, there's a certain entrance that you come in that, you know, there's always some security that's at that spot. And so on this particular night, on this day, we rolled in and the security guard wouldn't let us in. You know, this is the team bus. This is the Western Final. And they know we're coming. And he wanted to reroute us around the stadium to go to another entrance. Well, the bus driver opens the door and this guy is saying, ah, yeah, we're not gonna blah, 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 blah. Well, Dave Ritchie was right there. And Dave Ritchie walked out of that bus and he tore that guy. He tore a strip into him, like, oh my gosh. Like, that guy didn't know what hit him. And Dave actually started walking towards the cones. And he was throwing the cones that were protecting the entrance so you couldn't go in. He was throwing them and getting them out of the way so that we could go in. And then, sure enough, he got back on the bus and they cleared the way and we moved in there. And it kind of really set the tone because Dave was so furious because he knew that it was probably one of those tactics that they were doing just to, you know, piss everybody off and get, if some, you know, get somebody off their game. But it fired people up more than anything. And I remember we started clapping because Dave, it was so mad. And we were all fired up because David tore this guy up. So yeah, every time I go into that entrance, it always brings back that memory of Coach Ritchie and that security guard, I'm sure, who probably doesn't forget that either.
That's brilliant. Yeah, definitely some gamesmanship going on there. That's,
oh yeah, they're in Edmonton were the two, yeah. And Winnipeg. Kyle Murphy and the soap and the showers at the old Winnipeg Stadium. Have I ever told you that one, Bakes?
No, I've heard some stories about that place, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, well, he used to put used bars of soap in that shower. It was an old shower, and he used to put used bars of soap with like hair on them, and it was disgusting. And it was always, if it was the summertime, that room was, there was never air conditioning. It was 120 degrees in there, and if it was the wintertime, the heater never worked, the showers never worked, nothing worked in that place. And he did it, and it was all him. He did it just to piss everybody off before the game and after the game. It drove people crazy, but you could see he loved doing that kind of stuff because he got inside people's head, and that's what he wanted. So it's lots of great stories about some of those general managers and coaches, and that they try to do all this stuff prior to games so that they could throw some guys off their game. And a lot of times it worked.
Canadian Football League, never short on great characters. That's for
yes,
sure.
Sure.
Hey, listen, Julio, keep up the great work. Always great catching up with you. And we'll hear yourself in the Moj on Saturday, pregame 6 o'clock on AM 730 Lions Audio Network. And yes, let's enjoy this run. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Thanks very much, guys. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you. We'll see you this week.
Sounds good, Julio. See you on the weekend.
First and now, the official BC Lions podcast. Always great, insightful chatter with Julio Caravetta. And that's a great Dave Ritchie story.
Yeah. Well, we even, on the way to our game on Saturday, we even got into some not security issues, but the security guys, we pulled up and there were pylons, ironically, there.
There was a little confusion there, wasn't
but
there?
But the pylons were set up that they only fit a car, like about a normal vehicle through, not a big bus.
So the bus driver drove over the cones, right?
The security guys weren't looking when our bus drove in, and the bus driver said, no, I'm just going to make my own path in. And so that's what it reminded me of, which is funny enough.
Let's keep winning ball games. I don't want to go back to that.
We're not going back.
Stupid stadium in the playoffs, with all due respect. All right. Okay, we'll leave that at that. Lions Stampeders, 7 o'clock. Get your tickets, bclions.com. A lot of cool things happening. Student rush night. Post-secondary students can get in for $20. How can you beat that deal? Also, one lucky post-secondary student will get a chance to kick to win their tuition up to $20,000 at halftime. Pretty sweet prize. And salute to amateur football, punt, pass, and kick. A lot of football kids going to be playing on the turf. So should be a good one to get the youth out, Lions and Stampeders. And again, a win, and we're in the playoffs. It's that simple. It could also happen if we don't win and get some help, but we want to get in the good way. We want to get in on a winning note. So, yeah, should be a great special night of football back home for the first time in a month. That's going to be outstanding. So, talking about the big win in Calgary Saturday, beforehand, we were watching the Tiger Cats lay a beating on the Blue Bombers, easily the surprise of the week. So Winnipeg falling to 12-2, and we gained some ground on the Bombers as a result of that. If first place is still in your sights, it's in my sights. Hamilton keeping pace in the East, but no doubt a surprising result.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, those are the Tiger Cats, and that was the Dane Evans that I kind of hoped, or not hoped, but I assumed would be the case going into the season. And it was good. It was a very good victory for them. That has to be great for Dane Evans' confidence. I mean, out of any CFL player this season, he's maybe gone through the most mental hurdles, and to see him bounce back like that, have a great game passing through the air, it's got to be relieving for Hamilton. And a lot of people were saying, where do these Tie Cats come from? And I was saying, well, they were winning the Grey Cup in the fourth quarter last year, and they didn't change many pieces on their roster. So
could have won it, maybe should have won it, if not for a rouge for the Blue Bombers there in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, that's, again, you're right. That's a team that has a championship makeup. They have a championship-level head coach in Orlando Steinauer. So you knew they were going to turn a corner, but maybe it's a bit surprising how they did it, taking down the Blue Bombers they did. Hey, speaking of surprises, Friday night in Calgary, I'm down at the Keg having a glass of Merlot, just chilling with a buddy of mine who lives in Calgary. We always try to get together when we're there. And looking up at the TV, Saskatchewan is making a game of it 23-17, so quickly settle up, say bye, and get back to my room for the final 6-7 minutes, and you think, okay, it was a good run for the Elks here tonight, but you see Cody Fajardo engineering a touchdown drive, but our old friend Sergio Castillo, they get it into range for him, and the Elks keep their very slim playoff hopes alive. Had they lost, that would have been it with four games to go, but Chris Jones and the Elks going into Mosaic. What is it with the Riders? They cannot win a game at home.
Yeah, that was
crazy.
That was a fun one to watch.
It was.
Taylor Cornelius is a really, really fun player to watch for me. He's getting it done with his legs. Almost had another 100 rushing yards with his legs. It looks like they found a gem at running back, too, with that little Kevin Brown running wild. Darrell Walker at over 100 yards, too, so it's good to see for a veteran getting back into the mix there. former BC line, Adam Corner, had a big third down stuff. He had another really good game. But the D-line of the Elks, they just tore up that Riders O-line. And it was kind of the case of with us, too, these three Riders games that our defensive line definitely got the better of them in all three rounds. But Edmonton, that's where I believe the game was won, is that Cody Fajardo just had no time on offense.
Eight sacks, whatever it was, yeah. And the CFL on TSN panel was talking about it. You mentioned the running back, Brown, and Cornelius is their guy. They've just signed him to the extension. You know, if anything, you're trying to build some momentum for next season and take a big step next season. And good for Konar, too. I know a big reason he went back to Edmonton was because they basically guaranteed him a starting spot. And given the good depth at linebacker we have here, maybe that was going to be a tall task for Mr. Konar, Adam Konar. I might have called him Kevin just now. Kevin's his dad, of course, former BC Lion. But Adam Konar, good to see him producing, and good for the Elks not throwing in the towel. So that was week 15. Week 16, we'll start on Friday night. Hamilton in Montreal, another home game for the Alouettes. Alouettes, of course, confident, had the bye week after taking us down 31-10 a week ago on Friday. So we'll see if the Tiger Cats, it seems every week on this podcast we're talking about a team in the East. Can they build off that one win? Well, I suppose there's two teams in this matchup that are looking to build. Winner will maybe have the inside track on finishing second, but we'll see.
Like you just said, we're always saying there's got to be that one team in the East that's going to pull through, which is why there might be a tie in this game. Would you be surprised?
We are due for a tie at some point.
Neither team pulls through.
It would be fitting if it was two sub 500 teams in the East tying each other, wouldn't it?
Right when they build momentum too.
Yeah.
But I like Hamilton going into this game. Call it recency bias, but they looked crazy impressive on offense. I know Montreal had a good game against us the last time they took the field, but like you said, Alondra Steinhauer is a very good coach, and I like I trust Hamilton's whole coaching staff, and I think Dane Evans, I would like to think that his confidence is back, and he's gonna keep building off of that performance on Saturday afternoon. But Montreal, like we witnessed it the other week, they're tough out at home.
Saturday, first game of a doubleheader, Toronto in Ottawa. Seems like they just did this against each other in Ottawa. What's with this schedule? Toronto playing Hamilton every week, and now they're playing Ottawa every week, apparently. But kidding aside, the Argos 7-5, they can really pull away in this thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's almost a must-have for Ottawa, too,
oh, yeah.
In this sense. So the Red Blacks are out there off a bye. They had a lot of time to prepare. I know this is going back a while now, but 2020 or week three of this 2022 season, we're on the bus after the game after we defeat the Ottawa Red Blacks 34-31 at home, and Ottawa had a bye the week before, I believe.
Yeah, well,
my story goes with this.
I don't remember what I had for lunch, so yeah.
My story depends on this, but Nathan Rourke was on the bus and he was saying, yeah, that was a game plan. We had a short week. That's what it was. We played
Saturday Toronto here.
Yes, and then Thursday Ottawa.
Basically had one full day of practice.
And Ottawa had a bye. And Nathan said, yeah, that was a defensive game plan that you could tell at Mike Benavides and that crew. They had a bye week. He said it was a very complex scheme that he faced, and he made them think on every single throw he made. So I'm kind of expecting the same out of here, too, with Ottawa having the week off. And I think Nick Arbuckle's looked pretty solid for the Red Blacks at quarterback since he's been given the reins. So this one could be anybody's game, too, though.
That one was there for the taking when the Red Blacks just played Toronto.
Couldn't get in the end zone.
Couple failures on third down at the end, and classic Eastern Division showdown. Yeah, and it's funny. So, again, going back to that situation when we were in Ottawa, we get to 3-0. And that was a point where people, some of the naysayers out there, like, you know, fans of other teams, that certain media people that, you know, don't know this team as well that are in other markets, it was just Ottawa. Oh, it was just Toronto they beat. Like, not really. Fair enough. Weren't ready to jump on the Nathan Rourke bandwagon just yet, right? And I even pointed out to some guy, I said, like, look at this. We played a game here on a Saturday, basically had one full practice before flying all the way to Ottawa. That's not easy no matter what the team's record is. And then, of course, they get all defensive. Oh, too bad. One practice. Well, yeah. Okay, bud.
Still got it done.
Why we engage with idiot trolls online? Well, maybe because life would be boring if.
What are you saying?
If we didn't do that. Yeah. You've been known to go back and forth.
I keep it quiet.
You keep receipts. You have a couple of receipts ready to send tweets out for.
Oh,
people who were predicting our record at the start of the year.
Somebody tweeted at me yesterday saying that Tua Tagovailoa, this is about the halftime, he called him a poor man Stefan LaFors, and that did not age well.
Yeah, see, stay off Twitter. That's the key. Speaking of Twitter, you're at Nick_Kowalski. That's Nick with a K. I am at BakesTakes84. The podcast is at First and Now. Whatever platform you're watching or listening on, subscribe, rate, review. Leave us a review, will you? We like reviews, good and bad. And that was a good one. That was fun to be in here inside the Go-Goat Sports Studios at the Wall Center. Lions Stampeders Saturday. Hopefully we're talking about a playoff spot wrapped up and a 10-3 record at this time next week. But win or lose or draw, we'll be here. It's Matt Baker, Nick Kowalski. Thanks to Giulio Caravetta on First and Now.